It's good to see everybody here. I'm going to stay down here this morning, if that's okay. Now, I can approach this a couple different ways. I can preach to you for 45 minutes, and then we can leave. Or I can conversate with you a little bit, if you're willing. Which one would you rather do? Conversate? Might be tough on you if we do. Would that be okay? But then it might be very hopeful, too, at the same time. How's that? Good. Well, I bring greetings from our church, and everybody there is doing very, very well. Very good. We're excited about the things of God. So we were blessed to have everybody there at conference. Thought that went very well. And so looking forward to coming here this coming year. Really pushing it. We've already got people changing their vacation to come out here, so that's good. Very happy about that. Okay, I'll tell you what, why don't we talk a little bit about a very familiar subject that we have preached many, many times, and we have really instructed you about weakness and about prophecy, things like that. So I want to address something in you today that may be very, very helpful for you in your understanding when you're dealing with living in earth. If I could say it that way. Did Paul ever live in the flesh? He said he did, didn't he? But yet he had a very good understanding of it, didn't he? In other words, he knew how to address it, how to live for God, and how to be living in the flesh at the same time. Now, there's two ways to look at that. You say, well, you're not supposed to live in the flesh. That's true. But then if you have a body of flesh, are you going to live in the flesh? So while living in the flesh, you're not supposed to live in the flesh. Does that make sense? So I'm talking with a body and then talking spiritual. Did that make sense at all? Basically, you're dealing with being in the earth and having a heavenly mind. That's really what I'm talking about. Does that make sense? Okay. So I'd like you to tell me what your thought is on weakness. What do you think weakness is? We got any answers on that? I want to write it on the board. Thoughts of flesh. Thoughts of flesh. That's Tristan's answer. Who else?
My thought is that we have been trying to save ourselves.
Okay. Thought of saving yourself. Okay. Anybody else? Brian, do I need to get this on a microphone or?
Yeah, we're good.
We're good?
Yeah.
Okay. Whatever you guys need to do, let me know. Okay. Who else? Okay. I knew that would come up. No understanding. Now this is your perception of weakness, right? That's what I want to hear today. Anybody else? Okay. Not worthy, not feeling worthy. That word feeling is very important. Anything else? Can you guys read that? What else?
I would say anything of the carnal mind, the thought that's outside of God.
Okay. So let me see how to write that, Tim. Carnal mind. Outside of God. Does that sound okay? Thoughts that are outside of God. So I'm repeating your answers anyway, so it'll be on the recording, right? Anybody else want to add into that? Now, okay, so let's stick with these. There are five answers that you gave. Thoughts of the flesh, saving yourself, no understanding, not feeling worthy, and the carnal mind, thoughts that are outside of God. Now, how many of you want to escape those thoughts? Okay. So if this type of weakness is in your mind, when you approach conversation about God, is that the conversation we're telling you not to bring? That's the conversation we're saying, don't bring this weakness. But why are we telling you that? Why would we tell you not to bring that conversation?
No fellowship.
Okay, so there's no fellowship in this type of conversation, is there? Now, I'll tell you, I have spoken to many people that talk in these types of thoughts, but a lot of times when you're convinced of these thoughts, you won't change. If you're convinced of them, you will not change at all. Now, let me ask you a question. What is God's weakness? Does God have a weakness? How did I know you were going to say that? Adam. Number one, because Brian saw some things on that, didn't he? But what if I move to a different, because there's a time for Adam to be taught. Did Adam deal with these thoughts that are on the board that we wrote here? Was that Adam's weakness, everything you guys mentioned? So that's Adam's weakness. Now I want to talk to you about God's weakness. You say, well, that is God's, but there's a difference. There's a difference. That is the thought of the first Adam, in which when you stay in the first Adam, you cannot fellowship, can you? You can't fellowship in the first Adam. You know why? Because he's full of fear. He's full of doubt. He's full of unbelief. He always says, I don't understand. Always. And if these thoughts remain in you, will you stay separated from God just like Adam did? You will, won't you? So back to my question. You've got a microphone, right? So you can read for me? What is God's weakness? In other words, I'm going to show you there's a weakness that God will receive. Did you know that? And as long as the apostles and even Jesus Christ had to manifest in a body, in flesh, would there always be a weakness there? Would there? Okay, question. You guys seem stumped or something. Was Jesus weak? Everybody wants to say no. Turn to Isaiah 53. And start reading. Just start reading through Isaiah 53. How many has read that chapter? Probably one of the most famous chapters. But how many of you have read it recently? Go ahead.
Isaiah 53 and 1. Who had believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form, no comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him.
Wait a second. Who's this a prophecy of? Is it not Jesus Christ? The death of Jesus Christ? No beauty? No comeliness? Is this weakness? Read.
He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it our faces from him. He was despised and he was esteemed him.
Hold
not.
On. Are you guys hearing this? Now, what's the difference between his weakness and your weakness? Is there a difference? When did Jesus ever say, my weakness is I don't understand? When did Jesus ever say, my weakness is the carnal mind, or I'm trying to save myself? When did Jesus ever think in that weakness? He never did. But did he have a weakness? Now, I'm showing you how you're supposed to live in the flesh. Keep reading.
Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted.
Smitten of God and afflicted. Wait, we're talking about God here. How could God be smitten and afflicted? Did God put him in a body that could suffer weakness? But here's the difference, and we're going to read a little more. Here's the difference. His weakness was because of glorifying God. It wasn't glorifying self. What kind of glory does God get when we say, I just don't understand anything all the time? What kind of glory does God get for you saving yourself? or being in thoughts of the flesh all the time. Does God get any glory in that? But what kind of glory does he get by putting his son on a cross and dying for the sins of the world? Does God get glorified in that? Yes, he does. In other words, here's what I'm trying to say. We carry weakness as a badge of some type of great thing that we are trying to overcome. What if you allowed weakness to work in you because of the word of God was present? Would it be different? Did Paul suffer weakness? Was he beaten? Was he stoned? Was he persecuted? Was Jesus Christ persecuted? Was there a weakness in him that allowed his body to be persecuted? And yet, it was for the glory of God. What was present in him that allowed him to suffer those persecutions? The will of his Father. The truth. The gospel. So, is there a weakness that you will suffer because of the gospel? That's different than walking around going, I'm not worthy. I'm saving myself. I'm in thoughts of the flesh. Is that different? In other words, you know, I was telling some people back home that Rick is here. He has said it many times to us and probably to you guys, to anybody online or whatever. And he says, you know, we couldn't come up with this stuff ourselves, this revelation. Is that a weakness? Yes or no? Is he glorifying his weakness to say that man could never come up with this? Paul said, I glorify in my infirmities. Is it a good thing to say man could never come up with this, that so that God could be glorified? Paul said it like this. If I glory in my infirmities, the power of Christ will rest upon me. So if you were to say, man, I could never come up with this revelation myself, but I know who does give it to me. Does the power of Christ now rest upon you? So what? When Rick says that, he's saying the power of Rick does not rest upon me. I can only get this through the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's a different kind of weakness. He is saying that the gospel in me is going to get the glory here. And he doesn't come and say, well, I don't understand. I'm feeling really bad today, and the carnal mind is overwhelming me. It's hard to deal with thoughts like that. But if the gospel is working in you, and you understand the weakness that abides in the flesh, do you know who you will glorify? God. That's because if Paul makes the statement that when I am weak, what else is he? How can you be strong if weakness is not present? How can you be strong? So did Paul look at his weakness and say, this is the body God gave me to suffer persecution, to suffer stoning, beatings, all of that. So I will suffer that weakness so that I can glory in the power of Christ. That's weakness. In other words, you need to allow your weakness to be converted to something greater. See, we look at weakness as a hindrance to us. Paul looked at it as a glory. Because he says, oh, they stoned me here. I'll go to the next city so I can get beaten. Then I'll go to the next city so they can persecute me. And he gloried in it. And his weakness never made him weak. It made him strong. And he gloried in it. And here we'll mullow around in our weakness and condemn ourselves for being weak. And there's no glory in Christ, is there? Because when you convince yourself you don't understand, when in that thought do you glorify God? You don't. So if I ask you, some of you guys, in some of these answers, what I'm here doing here today is I want to change your perception of your weakness. If your perception of weakness changes, do you know what you'll do? You'll understand all things. All things. How many of you think I know everything about God? Probably nobody in here, do you? Rick, do I ever have to go to you and ask you questions? Yeah. Is that a weakness? But you know what's interesting about that? It's not a weakness to me. It's a glory to God. Because now I can say, you know what? I'm here. I don't understand everything, but God does. So all I got to do is ask and God will answer it. But what if our weakness says, I don't understand, and even when I ask, I'm not going to understand? Or maybe they're not going to answer it the way I should understand, or these types of things. That type of weakness will not get you into heaven, will it? It'll keep you out. But if I know that the weakness of flesh hinders me from understanding the Lord, then I also know, and I understand it, if I perceive that the right way, Julie, then I will also know that it will also glorify God when God answers me. And so I'll go to Rick and I'll ask him a question, and you know what the Lord will do? He'll answer my prayer. He'll answer my question, and I'll go, wow, the weakness that was in me could not understand it, and I glory in that. And it's a change of perception. If you are walking around with your head down, always condemning yourself because of weakness, you will not glory in the Lord. You won't do it. And I read this about Jesus because you guys all know, and you know how to answer this. When did Jesus ever speak anything that opposed the glory of God? When did he do it? Well, I'm going to tell you, you're missing some things, aren't you? Did Jesus have to say, render unto Caesar's what is Caesar's, and unto God what is God's? Now, isn't him having to render unto Caesar's what is Caesar's, isn't that a weakness? Isn't it? Because you've got the law judging him, and he's in a body, and yet he is not going to be seduced by that weakness. So what's he do? He turns it on him. And he says, give unto Caesar what is Caesar's. And he even submits to the ordinance of man as a weakness, and yet to him it's not a weakness. We're talking about God. Why would God even have to submit to anything of man? Why would Paul and a great apostle of God ever have to submit to man? And yet he was persecuted by him. Yet he was stoned by them. Why would Jesus have to stay on the cross and submit to the death and the crucifixion of man and give himself to that weakness? Why would he do it? He did love him. Why else would he do it?
He would do it for the weaker brother.
Right on. So ultimately you're saying he does it to glorify God. He does it to glorify God. See, Jesus, and this is why I liked when you guys said Adam, because Brian has showed you, and many times, and I know he's taught you this too, but he's shown you the difference many times of the first Adam, weakness, versus the last Adam, weakness. You've got to have the last Adam perception of weakness. That's what Paul's weakness was. That's what Jesus' weakness was. If you don't have that perception of weakness, do you think you will be successful in serving the Lord? You won't. Because, you'll keep condemning yourself. Am I making sense here? Go ahead, Julie. Right on. Yes, he would. Yes, he would. But see, to him, in his mind, it's fulfilling righteousness. But he had to submit to the baptism of John by water, didn't he? He had to fulfill it. Why would Jesus have to die? You're going to say, well, because of the sins of the world, right? Would you think that? He had to die because of the sins of the world, like you said, for the weakness of other men, right? Which would be true. Would be very true. But there's other reasons why he would have to die too. What do you think they are? Say again. Okay. She said so that they might be gathered together. And that's what does happen when the Lord works that work too. The same thing about the Apostle Paul. Why would he be so persecuted so many times? Peter, the apostles, all of them. Why would they have to suffer such persecution? I think Jesus did tell his disciples, you're going to have to go and suffer many great things, persecutions. You're going to have to. But why? There's another part of your weakness that must be made known to you. What do you think that is? Okay. You do have to leave the body you're in. That's true. That's true. Well, let me help you out here. Do all the thoughts that oppose God, do they need to be judged? How can they be judged if they're not manifested to do something wrong? How can God judge them? He wouldn't be just, would he? In other words, by sending an apostle out to preach the gospel and have him persecuted, can they now be judged because they have persecuted the word of God? So who's going to go get persecuted so that the wickedness can be judged? Who's going to do it? Do you need a weakness to be persecuted? You follow me? In other words, you're walking around going, my weakness is all of this, and I want to get away from it, and you're trying so hard, get me away from it, get me away from it. Not me. Not you, Brian. We're embracing our weakness, and we're suffering the persecution. What if I told you this, Walker? What if you came to Brian in those thoughts right there? Would you be persecuting him?
Yes.
Is God going to judge that? And Brian had to suffer it. His weakness was to suffer persecution. Your weakness was of the wicked one. Does that make sense? In other words, we got the wrong perception of weakness here. We're walking around feeling sorry for ourselves, wishing to God would take us out of weakness. The apostles walk around going, I glory in my weakness. It's going to help me get persecuted so I can judge that wicked one. I'm going to get stoned. But something about Paul, you know what happened when he would get stoned? He'd get up and go to the next city. My God, clean up, rest for a few days. No, the gospel needs preaching. That's pretty powerful, man. But that's his weakness. That's a whole lot different than our weakness. And I was reading about Jesus here with Walker because I was pointing out that the two perceptions of weakness in God was, Brian has often said, the weakest thing in God was Adam. You've said that, right, Brian? And Brian is showing this type of weakness that always failed God in the first Adam. And today, my point is to make, don't stay in the first Adam, or you'll always be hiding from God. You'll always be running from God. You'll always be just trying to be saved in a weakness. And it don't work. But if you enter into a Christ, now you're not being weak in fear. You're being weak in giving yourself to death for the glory of God. And that's a different kind of weakness. That's a higher thought of weakness. That's a weakness that God will put you in to bring salvation. And you may look at You may look at Paul's testimony, and I love the way he says it, and you can read that it's all through the scripture, in Corinthians especially, I think 2 Corinthians especially. Something wrong? Run! You could edit this, right? This is where I make fun of stuff. You guys okay? So there's a difference. And now let's talk about the difference. Now I've laid it out to you. Okay? Now I've laid it out to you. How many of you have walked in the wrong weakness for way too long? Is it time to end that? Is it time to end that? See, there's a time to believe God. And here's the way I look at it. Okay, I'm a physical man. There is no getting around that. Right? And I don't count weakness as my back hurts, okay? I don't count, it's a physical type of weakness, no doubt. But when it comes to the things of God, am I sick today, I don't feel good today, I'm dealing with weakness. That to me is not a weakness anymore. Of physical flesh, okay, I'm with you, I get that. But if I'm talking about the story of God and the what God is doing in us, my perception of weakness has completely changed now. So when I know during the week, if I'm going to meet with people, if I'm going to preach the gospel, if I'm going to edify, which we do quite a bit, I already know when I go out today that there's going to be the wicked thoughts of weakness that is going to oppose me. And I know that in my weakness, which is a suffering, which is being stoned, which is being beaten, those types of things, spiritually speaking, I'm going to suffer those things. And to me, I go, you know what? This is for the glory of God. That my weakness, in my weakness of being persecuted and suffering, in that weakness, I'm strong. Because now I know where my strength comes from. Because I can't overcome somebody telling me that they don't understand. In my flesh, I can't overcome that. I can't fix you. I can't do nothing. So what do I need to glory in? I need to glory in God right there. That's going to be where the glory exists. And so if you're approaching manifestations, your life, and you're thinking of weakness in the wrong way, you are going to miss the glory of God. You're going to miss it. And that's what I'm talking to you about today. There's no need to miss the glory of God anymore. There's no need to. So these types of things right here that we wrote, once again, thoughts of the flesh, saving self, no understanding, not feeling worthy, carnal mind. Let's take not feeling worthy for a second. That was a good answer because in weakness, how many of you have ever felt that? Well, how would you like to have the perception is, my flesh is not worthy, and I'm glad it's not. I'm glad it's not. You know why? Because that meant I could do everything in the flesh, and God wouldn't be glorified. So I'm glad I'm not worthy, but I know who is. I know who is. God is worthy. So now, isn't that a different type of mindset? You see that point right there? You go, well, no, I don't understand a thing God says. I don't in the flesh, and I'm glad I don't, because now I need the mind of Christ, because the mind of Christ, that understands. Now, is that a different weakness? Yeah, I'm glorying now. I'm actually having excitement that my flesh cannot glory. I'm having excitement that I am weak in the flesh. I'm excited about that, Because now I don't have to worry about somebody walking in, Walker, and pat me on the back. Oh, man, you're such a good preacher. You're such a good, oh, I love the way you, I can't wait to hear you preach. Listen, when you're glorying in Christ, none of that affects you. I am telling you right now, you will lose everything. For example, years ago, I remember, and I'm watching some of the deacons learn this now. Years ago, I'd get up and preach. And boy, you're so excited about what you think God told you. Well, you just want somebody to come up to you and say, oh, that was the best thing I've ever heard. My God. Back years ago, we needed that stuff. Now, I go, are you kidding me? Listen to me. Let's focus. Let's talk about Christ here for a minute. And see, that now, in a weakness, I can perceive that men will worship the flesh, but we're going to worship God. And so if you have the right perception of how you're going to walk with God, those types of things won't seduce you anymore, is what I'm saying. You won't be seduced by them. And so there's a difference here. And I think I've made myself pretty clear on what the difference is, haven't I? So what do you guys think? Now let's hear from you a little bit. Tim, this is where, I don't know, Brian, if you want the mic, I'm totally fine with it. It's up to you.
This is interesting because it's definitely correcting perception about what weakness is, because why else would he subject the Son to all things, not just the good, but the good and the evil, so he can suffer the things of death? It makes a lot of sense. That's why he'd subject Jesus to that realm, to be crucified, to be hated. It was meat for the Son. It was for him and by him. But there's a great purpose in it. And understanding that, you'll no longer be seduced by the weakness.
No longer.
Right. So there's a purpose in that weakness for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Anybody else? Yeah, up here.
That's so awesome. I always wondered exactly what he meant, but Jesus said it. The flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing. Right there, you know, even the flesh that Jesus had to deal with, he knew it was weak, but you never heard him sow it. And he was always spiritual. So, I mean, I just think it's awesome. You know, it explains what he says. You know, I always wondered, you know, how could even the flesh be weak with Jesus there? Mm-hmm. But the flesh is always weak. It's not going to be saved.
Yeah.
It was the spirit.
Well, you think about Jesus. Did Jesus die on the cross? Did that body get killed? So was it weak?
Yeah.
It died there. See, in heaven, as he was glorified, where was his weakness? In a resurrected body. Where was it? It was done, wasn't it? He was given all power over flesh, over earth, over heaven, all of it. All of the angels. There was no weakness there. Take it to Brian. In heaven, he was glorified, wasn't he? Are you in heaven yet? I hope a part of you is. We'll get back to that. Go ahead, Brian.
Tristan brought out a good point there, because we've had people actually come in among us and talk about how Jesus was so weak on the cross and, you know, how he wept. And they justify it with the scripture in the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, and where Tristan was talking about there, where Jesus was with his disciples. And he said to them, just like Tristan said, that the flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing. But what you really have to realize there, he's not talking about his flesh right there. Mm-hmm. He asked his disciples to watch and pray with him, watch for 1 hour, and they could not do it. He's saying he's suffering the weakness that they could not watch and pray with him for 1 hour. Mm-hmm. He suffered it.
Isn't that good?
Yeah.
That was his weakness.
There you go.
And he gloried in it. That's pretty awesome. Did that make sense to everybody? And you go, well, does God have weakness? Only when he's dealing with the flesh, and it's going to be being persecuted, being put to death, being stoned, all of these things. That's God's mind of weakness. He don't have a mind that walks around going, man, I'm not worthy. And I'm just not worthy. Are you tying that to your consciousness and your feelings here? That's why I love what you said. Not feeling. Well, those feelings are trouble, aren't they? They are trouble. Yes.
Well, and that's what's cool about what you're saying with these is when we are associating with these thoughts, thinking that, well, I need to have these thoughts of no understanding saved, or I need you to fix all of these things. Those are the thoughts that are actually persecuting the Christ, instead of thinking, I am the Christ and I'm being persecuted by these thoughts.
Yes.
Let me judge those so we can move on with life. Instead, we're being those thoughts that persecute. It's a totally, totally different mindset.
Well said, because that's the problem right there. When you come in that mindset right there, you are the problem. You are the weakness. And that's why we say we're not going to join into that conversation with you. My weakness is now going to be suffering the persecution of the Word of God. Because as we tell you the truth, and you keep saying, but I don't understand, you're persecuting the Word of God. And I have to become, or these men have to become weak to you to suffer that. But I'm going to tell you something. You know what that means, too? We're there to judge it, too. Because now that that weakness has persecuted the truth, it can be judged. Now, also, does that happen to you by yourself? Has Brian spoke the word of the Lord to you? And by yourself, your own weakness has killed the word of God in you? But you weren't in the consciousness of the word of God in you. You were in the consciousness of that weakness. That's got to change. How many agree as of right now, right here, today, that changes? Some of you are going, man, this is awesome. This is a great revelation. But it don't mean nothing unless you walk out the door changed. And if you've understood what I said today, that means you have understood the Word of God and you are changed. Stop walking in that kind of weakness from this point on. I'm telling you right now. Don't get out the door and go, well, I'm not quite sure if I can do it. Here we go again. Round she goes. Did somebody else have something to say? Did you raise your hand? It changed yesterday. Good, Daryl. Now you're confessing it. Let's go.
Could I just read, and I know you mentioned it, 2 Corinthians 12 there. Can I just read that real quick?
Sure.
Verse 9, it says, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. My thought is, today I'm thankful for those weaknesses. It just brought a thankfulness, and you know, we've heard it before, and just be thankful, and you don't understand it, but you just, okay, God, I'm just going to be thankful. But today God is helping us to understand, and there's, you don't have that no understanding anymore. You can't, you know, wallow in that. Just be thankful. God is great. Thank you for this.
No problem. Notice what you read there, that last verse. I take what? How many of you guys remember the word?
Pleasure.
In infirmities? Now notice what he says his weakness is. His infirmities? Reproaches? In necessities? Was he always in need? Paul said half the time he was hungry. You know? Because he preached the gospel. He was shipwrecked. He was abandoned. He was left alone. He didn't get much sleep. All these things. But why? Keep reading.
In distresses?
For, okay, that's good. For Christ's sake. Now, how many of you, once again, when you bring that weakness, is that for Christ's sake? No, that's for your sake. That's for your own justification to give an excuse why you can't serve God. You are judging yourself and you are lying before God. That's true. That none of that pleases God. None of it. And here's what Jesus said. When he prayed after Lazarus, before he raised Lazarus from the dead, he said, I pray, Father, and I know you hear me always. Now think about that. Jesus, the man, did he have to pray? Yes or no? Did he say, I do what I see and hear of my Father? He relied on who? His Father. He had to rely on his Father. Did he contend with flesh or not? He did. Therefore, he had to rely on his Father. But was it a glory to him? Or was it, oh my God, is God going to talk to me today? I'm afraid he won't. I'm afraid he won't. I don't even pray anymore because God don't answer me. Now, I'm telling you, that comes out of our mouths. And it's a disgusting lie, man. Isn't it? Jesus said, I know you hear me always. I know you hear me always. So what's Jesus saying? Body or not, flesh or not, all I got to do is ask. All I got to do is pray, and I will hear the Father. So did weakness stop him? No. Did weakness stop Paul? No. It made him stronger. It made him greater because now the glory of Christ can rise up in him. And one more thing. When the disciples became apostles and they went preaching, and they were preaching the gospel, healing the sick, raising the dead, what did they say about those men? Do you remember? We perceive that these are ignorant and unlearned men, are unlearned and ignorant men, but do you remember? They have been with Jesus. In other words, in the flesh, they were unlearned and ignorant. But their perception of those apostles now, they've been with Jesus. Was there a glory of God living there in that weakness? You see my point? So if you want to be perceived by the glory of God, your weakness has got to change. It's got to change. And so we all agreed today, no more walking around going all this kind of stuff, unbelief and doubt and fear and all this. I'm not saying it won't be there. I'm saying it's how you deal with it now. You follow? That's different. That matters. You could still come to me, or I'll speak for myself. You could come to me and tell me there's things I'm struggling with. Okay, fine. But when we have that conversation, man, the Holy Ghost is changing some glories there and some weakness and some perceptions, and everything's going to be different after that conversation, if you believe that, because it will be, won't it? Simple enough? Anybody else? I like to make the point and get out of here. There's food to be eaten. And you get the point. If God stirs up your heart inside, trust me, you'll look into this. And you'll trust God. God will talk to you. God will add to you. There is so much more that we could get into on this. About the glories and the what actually Paul gloried in. And those types of things. But there'll always be time. Until there's not. No one else. Brian, bring that mic back there.
Just as I mentioned how Jesus was with his disciples and he asked them to watch and pray with him and they couldn't do it for 1 hour. He'd come back each time and they're sleeping. when he says the spirit is willing and the flesh is weak, he is suffering their weakness and glorifying God by saying the spirit is willing, and then even though the weakness is present, still performing the will of God. Therefore, with Adam, God suffered all of Adam's weakness and used all of that to glorify Christ in Adam. Therefore, Adam, still being the weakest thing in God, brought glory to God because of what God suffered with him. Do you see what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, right on. And the difference there is, thank God, God knew what was going on. Because a lot of people get stuck in a consciousness of Adam, and you don't know there's a glory taking place. And that's what you're coming out of. Brian's true. What he said is true.
Like you said, being stuck in Adam was not Christ. Christ changed all of that, and that's what brought the glory to God.
That was the glory.
Therefore, he suffered it, and then he changed it and glorified his Father, which is
right
in heaven.
On.
The change in everything you're saying here today is the whole key.
It's the key.
You don't stay in Adam. You perceive it different, and it's like you put out there so greatly here today. You change that perception. You see all of it to glorify God. You are changed. Amen?
You're changed. Now you know, and what Brian added there, you see why I had you guys list weakness? So that you could see, that is that Christ or is that first Adam? That's first Adam, isn't it? That's not Christ. When you're changed, you're no longer in. And I love that, because you're not changed until Christ works. Once Christ works, you're changed. And so that's why I wanted to bring the perception of Isaiah 53, and we did not finish it. You should go back and read that, because that was the weakness that Jesus suffered. Jesus, not the first Adam. That's why I brought that out. Make sense? Okay. I think you guys are ready to go then, huh? You're ready to go. Our conversations are going to be so much better now. Wait now, you laugh. But I'm saying that's true, right? So the rest of these meetings this week, tomorrow night starting, or today, or wherever we're at, they'll be good, right? Okay, we got a covenant now. You ready? I'm so glad you let me come here this week. It's a blessing. I love all you guys. I love seeing you. And we'll see you again soon. I promise. Brian will have me back here real soon. Right? Okay. God bless you.